national.
Jennifer Lawrence says she doesn't have a lot of sex because she's a germaphobe.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
She says she does not let her sex symbol status transfer into her private life. She also forces her partners to undergo STI tests. STI. What does the I stand for?
Infection instead of diseases.
Learn something new every day.
On 1340 WKGN.
Hey, big boy. I hear the way you read these headlines.
Tell you about the Hunger Games. Maybe we can go to a Golden Corral when we're done. How's that sound, Jenny?
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Go straight to some Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
All right, thanks, John.
You are welcome, my friend.
Tate Ratledge.
Hold on, before you get to that, let me go ahead and hit this M one more time. Cam, when you do your simulating, do you always reset before you go for number two? Or do you just go sim? I always go to reset, too. I feel like that changes the odds. All right, let me hit, do you care before you get to headlines? Can I hit this?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Knicks, the number one pick. Memphis moves up to number two. Could be a nice little replacement for Mike Conley getting Ja Morant. Chicago, Cleveland, round out the top four. All right, Cody, hour two headlines, Collision Course, right now.
All right, thanks, John. Tate Ratledge is a big, fat, white kid. He is a four-star football prospect out of Georgia, Darlington School, Rome, Georgia. Yesterday, he committed to the Bulldogs over Tennessee. His father, who is a Tennessee fan, or who was, had no problem peeling the Power T sticker off his back window of his Ford pickup truck. As soon as his son committed to Georgia, he ripped off his T. Now, who knows whether or not he'll be putting a G up, but this Tate Ratledge kid, 6'6", 311, he was a big offensive tackle prospect. Tennessee misses on him as he commits to the in-state Georgia and Sam Pittman.
Thoughts on the dad removing the sticker?
I would have removed it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have removed it in like when we lost to Vanderbilt in 2016, I think.
2017, that bad boy's coming off at the very least, right? Like,
why show that you support that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you just cut me off in traffic? I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the message you're sending to people.
Go ahead and slash my tires. I won't do a damn thing about it.
Put sugar in my gas tank. I don't care.
Blow it up. For all I care, I won't blame you.
Don't you see my sticker? You can tell I don't have any self-respect.
Cut me off. Flip me off. Do whatever you want. I'll just honk and wave. Thanks.
I'm used to being abused. Yeah, nobody wants to be driving around with that on their vehicle. I love my school, but it's tough to support that or to rep that these days.
I don't have kids.
Really?
That I know of. Don't know if I'll ever have kids. I would love for one of them to go and commit to a different school. That way I could change my allegiances. If I have a kid that even gets an offer from another good SEC school, well, sorry, I just had to support little Ozzy. Alabama sent him some scholar applications. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's getting in there or going there, but they showed some interest. Gotta support them. Clemson. Yeah, I mean, he's going to Clemson, and I think we should just really become a Clemson family just to really get behind him and support little Ozzy.
We've already got plenty of orange gear. We can just get some paws and tape them over the logo.
I would pray that my kid would get me out of this hell. Please.
Is that how
that's your one get out of jail free card, right? Your kid goes somewhere and plays. Well, I'm out of here.
I don't know if I could do that, though. I mean, could you support that team just because your kid goes there?
Yeah. I would hope so. If not, you're a terrible parent.
I mean, I think it would be tough.
If not, you are a terrible parent.
You can't say you're a Tennessee fan all your life and your kid signs with Florida and all of a sudden you got to start supporting Florida.
Otherwise, you're a terrible, terrible parent.
That doesn't make you a terrible parent.
if you are putting your allegiance to your college school over rooting for your kid and your kid's team, you're a terrible parent.
I mean, I'm not saying you don't do it. I'm just saying I think it would be tough.
I think it would hopefully be simple of I'm going to support my kid.
Even if it's Florida?
You can still cheer for your kid to have like 100 yards and a touchdown and not want, you know,
the team to win.
Not want the team to do well.
I think you got to root for the team's ultimate
success. Even if it's Florida.
Yeah.
As long as they're not playing Tennessee, I've always just said, like, I'll cheer for Tennessee and I'll cheer for the kid to do well. That's it.
I don't think any of us have to worry about our kid being a college football prospect.
I don't know. You find you a big, tall woman, who knows? You might turn out a left guard.
I like to think I was a pretty good lineman.
Yeah.
I have the strength, Gene. I don't know about the other things needed, but
you
I have
that. You got the girth needed.
Well, yeah. I think...
I don't know if that's a gene, but you got the girth, Gene.
I don't think that's a gene. I think, yeah, I mean, if it
you find you, a woman that's like 6'3 or so.
Like a Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah. Yeah, you find you a Brienne of Tarth, and who knows? You might have a starting left guard. The University of Arkansas or Tennessee or maybe Central Arkansas at least. I don't know.
I don't live in Arkansas. I live here. Why does it have to be?
He's going to grow up and he's going to... I don't.
Do you assume I'm going to move back to Arkansas at some point? I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I'd have a big kid. It was good enough. He wouldn't have the drive. He might have the tools, but I don't think he'd have the drive. Unless I had a really strong woman. He'd get it from his mother. If it was Brienne of Tarth, it would be probably have it.
He's just using you for girth.
Yeah.
I hope that there's a woman out there that's like, you know what, I've always wanted a Division I athlete, and I don't know if I can find any other men that can give me one, but I'm going to take the chance on you. You got a lot of girth. We'll have big babies.
I've always wanted a big guy I can dominate. Come on,
I just
honey.
Need you
I'm
for
your guy.
Most of these other big guys, they have drive, and they're going to want to be a father. They're going to want to really dominate things. I'm just using you for your size, Cody. Give me that girth. That guy's got a
just need an offspring.
That guy's got a strength gene. You can tell. Give me that girth.
I think I have pretty quick feet too.
Let me get the quick feet. That quick feet and girth. Give it to me, Big Mac.
I'd give it to her.
Game headlines.
A farewell to Westeros with the people who built the realm will air on May 26th at 9 p.m. on HBO. Game of Thrones, The Last Watch. It is a documentary special on season 8.
No thanks. They can go to hell.
Had a feeling you might say that.
They said they didn't have. They said they didn't need the extra episodes to tell the story. Then I don't need this extra episode of them telling us of how they ruined the story. No thanks.
Another update from yesterday.
You gonna watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
So all that stuff yesterday was just theatrics.
I'm still a sheep.
Okay, just checking. You seemed pretty upset yesterday.
I was upset.
You went and you read all the spoilers.
I was upset. I'm still upset about Cersei.
But you're still going to crawl yourself in front of that TV and watch them explain how they ruined the show for an hour or so.
No matter what they do, it's still going to be my favorite show ever.
And it's Stockholm Syndrome.
Just being abused and just learning how to accept it.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Reek, in a way.
A little bit. But yeah. I mean, he snapped out of it eventually, but yeah, that is what happened to him.
I mean, you don't want to watch a documentary about the greatest show?
I haven't seen one for Breaking Bad or The Sopranos or The Wire.
Those are not.
All three shows
are not better.
All three of them.
No, they're not.
Better.
Breaking Bad is not even close to Game of Thrones.
The way they're going to the finish line, it is.
I mean, yeah, you can... Yeah, the ending to Breaking Bad's probably going to be better, but as a whole show.
Different show, obviously. They didn't have 25 characters and all the special effects, but I mean, the overall story is going to be better. The execution's going to be better. But anyways, whatever.
Now this one will be criticized for its ending, sure. Anyway, episode 5, The Bells... coming in with a bad Rotten Tomato score.
Yeah, I feel like they're getting spammed, though. Like, I don't feel like... This wasn't the worst episode of the season.
No, and it comes in with a 51%, which is the lowest of the five episodes. Yet that Winterfell first episode is 92%.
That's what I'm saying. People got fed up whenever the Battle of Winterfell happened. Like, that's obviously when it started going downhill for that. People are fed up. People are mad. And they're spamming the Rotten Tomatoes scores. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think these were good, but they aren't.
But those
51%.
Those scores are off.
Yeah.
In some way. Tyrone Crawford was charged with a misdemeanor count of unlawful assembly stemming from an incident in March at a bar in Panama City.
Say that one more time.
Tyrone Crawford. Familiar with him?
Boxer? No.
Close. Defensive lineman for the Cowboys.
What was his name again?
Tyrone Crawford.
Never heard of that guy.
When you look at the history of the Cowboys' D-line, I mean, you know.
They've had some good people, just not Tyrone Crawford. Marcus Ware was good. Lawrence is good there now.
I'm just saying they've had some guys known for punching. Mm. You catching my drift?
Going with Greg Hardy, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, this guy got in trouble at the bar.
Yeah, getting in a fight with a defensive lineman in the NFL does not seem smart.
No, it doesn't.
Although, maybe they got inspired by the Porzingis thing. Like, hey, this little Latvian guy beat the hell out of Porzingis. Let's try our luck here.
I'm not taking my chances on an NFL defensive lineman.
No.
In what situation is that a good idea?
Whenever you've been drinking for a long time and think that you can do this.
To fight an NFL player. I mean, maybe a kicker.
Got to hear both sides.
Oh, there's two sides to every story. That's what many people say. Did you see where Memphis picked up a big commitment yesterday?
Yeah, let's talk about that next. Bad news. Really bad news for Tennessee when it comes to in-state recruiting, when it comes to the in-state programs. Memphis blowing past Tennessee. We'll talk about it now. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cody, hit me with the headline again as Memphis gets another stud. You still got the headline up? Give it to me one more time.
I'd just like to point out to everyone during the break that you were singing Marilyn Manson songs.
I put some Marilyn Manson in on his bumpers.
Former Duke
signee. Some of the Marilyn Manson stuff gets me going.
The Beautiful People.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite, not really one of my favorite songs as a kid, but there was just something I'll never forget. Back when, you know, you as a kid, you used to love the VMAs, right? I mean, the MTV VMAs or whatever. They let Marilyn Manson close the show with Beautiful People, and, you know, Marilyn Manson's a real weirdo. And I never will forget Chris Rock was the host, and he just came on afterwards, just like, run! Run to church, all of us now! Go to church! Because, I mean, Marilyn Manson was really scary. And just,
Chris Rock said that?
Yeah, he's like, run! Run your ass to church now!
Didn't he take out his penis on stage once?
Not on the VMAs, I guess? Maybe?
I believe he did. I believe there's some. You can look that up on Marilyn Manson. Ben, look that up.
You might. Maybe that happened. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. There was also the urban legends about him and his rib cages. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real familiar with that one.
All right, give me the Memphis headline.
Former Duke signee. Ben has a horrified look on his face. Former Duke. Boogie Ellis is a former Duke signee. He has committed to Memphis. Penny Hardaway and Memphis keep their momentum rolling with yet another top 40 commitment in 2019. Yesterday, just days after landing commitments from grad transfer Rajon Tucker and high school senior Lester Quinones, Hardaway and his staff added Boogie Ellis, former Duke signee, to their class. He's a top 40 recruit nationally.
Yeah.
Committed to sign with Duke to play point guard, but with Trey Jones opting for a return his sophomore year, Ellis chose to request a release from his letter of intent. He was granted it And now he's going to Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, that goes along. They, a couple days ago, also got the number two grad transfer in the country, and Rajon Tucker. Right now, Memphis's recruiting class in this upcoming class is ranked fourth in the country, which honestly seems low because they have six commits. Five of them are four stars, and one of them is the number one player in the country.
They have six commits excluding this guy.
Excluding this guy or the grad transfer?
Excluding the grad transfer, Rajon Tucker.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, they're adding six at least five-star players. One of those is the number one player in the country.
James
and the
Wiseman.
Other is a big grad transfer that can, you know, help them right now.
Yeah, James Wiseman is the number one overall recruit.
Yes, and he'll probably be the number one pick in next year's draft.
And we lose Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bone.
And we even lost the fifth star on Josiah James.
Well, just to add insult to injury. Remember last year when we were all talking noise after we beat down Memphis? Yeah, you're going to come to Knoxville next year and get it again, Penny.
Oof.
Well, we're going to look dumb on that one.
Maybe. I think we should cancel this home. And I think we should cancel game three, though. Like, Tennessee and Knoxville, maybe there'll be a chance. But let's not do the third one in Nashville. Let's although James Wiseman will be gone by then. Well, James Wiseman's the number one player. I don't know if this guy, I don't know if Boogie Ellis will be there. I don't know if he'll be a one-and-done guy. I mean, he's a top 40 player, so he'll have to show out to be a one-and-done guy. But it's obviously possible.
You remember all the stuff Penny said about Barnes?
What did he say about Barnes exactly?
Remember he said he was fake?
Said he was fake and said he was jealous of the NBA culture? Was that what he said?
Yeah.
Are you about to say that you are on Penny's side?
No. But I'm just saying now Penny's got all these recruits. He's obviously relating to these players. He's bringing in the number four recruiting class in the country. And he said, you said what, five players that are at least five stars?
No, that's
not what you said?
No.
What'd you say?
That is not what I said.
What'd you say?
I said I said something similar. You're close. It was not that five players are at least five stars because I wouldn't say at least there because.
I think that's what you said.
I wouldn't say at least there because there is no six star. You know what I mean?
Did you say at least four stars?
Yeah. They have six players. Five of them are four stars. One of them is the number one player in the country.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So to bring in players like that. You know, I mean, compared to our class. Then there was the whole off-season thing with the UCLA thing, and I don't know. And I'm not going to come out and say something like that, but maybe there was something to it.
I mean, I think we knew Penny Hardaway was going to recruit. That's what Memphis hired him for.
I mean, maybe there was something to Penny Hardaway saying he was fake.
Well, I don't know what that would have to do with Penny Hardaway's recruiting class.
It doesn't. It's just okay. That Penny Hardaway has a really nice recruiting class now. And if you look at who looked bad versus who looked good when that argument first came about, when Penny first started making headlines about that earlier this year, and now you look at it, I'd say the turntables.
Yeah, I mean, game two is going to be awkward, most likely. Like, there's going to be a real chance, and it's going to be a mistake that, you know, Tennessee is going to have made in terms of making this a deal, because when Memphis comes back to Knoxville, people are going to talk about this game, right? People are going to be waiting for it, and they're going to be talking about the Barnes and Penny Hardaway rivalry. They're going to be talking about Tennessee-Memphis, and just on paper, Memphis is going to come in with maybe, the best six players in the game?
I mean, maybe Josiah James is better than one of them.
Maybe.
Or two of them, maybe. Who
maybe.
Knows?
Yeah, I'm sure Josiah. That's fair. Josiah's got to be better than at least one of those guys. You're right.
Yeah, we'll see. Sure. I mean, maybe.
Maybe Josiah will be like third or fourth best.
Maybe.
But outside of that, Memphis is going to have, six of the top seven? I mean, I would trade all these guys right now in Memphis's class, plus probably the grad transfer for Bowden. No disrespect to Bowden or Fulkerson. Like, I'd rather.
You'd trade all our players to have Memphis's players.
Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe I'm looking too much at, you know, freshmen, you know, high school seniors and all that. I'm just saying there's – my larger point is there's not really anyone on Tennessee's roster right now that I don't view as expendable. Besides Josiah. I'm talking about on the current roster. Maybe DJ Burns will surprise me. Maybe DJ Burns will be a baller.
You're telling me you'd rather have James Wiseman than John Fulkerson?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That is precisely what I'm saying.
Hmm. You'd rather have this Ray John Tucker, the number one transfer in the country,
number two.
over Lamonte Turner? That's what you're telling me?
I don't know. That one feels a little different. My point
over
was...
Over Eve Pons?
Yeah. Over Pons, yes. Over Lamonte, I'm not going to say that.
Is Pons still around?
Pons is still around.
Not that you'd notice.
You'd notice. He looks the part. My larger point, like I said, it was pretty much that every one of the guys on Tennessee's roster right now feels expendable. Feels like just a guy. Now, we have the emotional connections to them, which makes it tougher, but they all seem like pretty much just your average, solid SEC players. Yeah, that Memphis stuff might backfire. You see the videos of Grant Williams draining NBA threes?
Yeah, I did. He hit, I believe, 9 of 12.
It was looking good.
I counted them in that video.
Stroke was looking nice.
It was.
Showing off some range. I'm going to go ahead and say that's the death knell. Although we've already acknowledged and accepted that Grant's gone. But it's more likely to me that Grant rises to a top 13, top 14 pick than him coming back to school. I think his status is going up, not down. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
To be.
Kitty Radio, come say it to our face, you Yankee bastard.
Back on the program, Grant Williams may be affected tonight with the NBA lottery. We'll see. I do think he is someone, I've said repeatedly, that he is someone that is going to interview well, and teams are going to really love him as they dive deeper on him. I think he should do what Rui Hachimura is doing, though.
Go to Gonzaga?
Well, no. I was going to say skip the combine. Just not go to the combine. Rui's like, nah, I'm good. No thanks. Watch my film. There's other players like that who are just like, nah, my biggest strength is playing help side defense. What do I look like coming here in the combine and playing pickup basketball? No thanks. Watch my film. You see guys like that slip a little bit further, but they end up in better situations. Like, there's no way Draymond Green should have been a second-round pick in his draft. It's just he was one of those guys that didn't have the athleticism and the measurements, right? But he was someone you watched and said, yeah, this guy knows how to play basketball. He's a leader, blah, 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 blah. And he went to the NBA, and he got into the right situation and became a top 25 player. If I'm Grant Williams, unless I felt like I was just going to be a lot more athletic than people thought, I would say measure me. I'm 6'5", 6'6". I have a 7-foot wingspan. I play really smart basketball, and I'm working on my shot. Come watch me. Come watch me at one of my workouts. I'm not doing the combine. Admiral is a guy I've seen start poking up consistently at the end of the first round. Tennessee might have two first-round picks, which would, be a kind of another reminder of the disappointment that happened in March, but would also be a really nice bridge to the league. And, you know, if you're looking for help recruiting, if you're looking for help getting players to buy in and all that stuff, you could always look, if you're Rick Barnes, and say, yeah, I did it at Texas. Then I came to Tennessee and turned two guys who were afterthoughts into first-round picks. Like, that's a big plus in recruiting, I would imagine. It's a big plus for Tennessee's just brand awareness. Now, again, like I said, fully acknowledge that that is another reminder of, wow, you had two really special guys, and the most you have to show for it is a regular season SEC championship and a Sweet 16 banner. But it would be a good bridge and a good sign, I think. At least a good reward, and I think you would see people maybe pay more attention to those guys' NBA careers. I was watching that Grant video of him draining three. I was like, if you think there's even a 5% chance he comes back to school, you seem
stupid.
Very dumb and optimistic. You choose to look at the glass as being a quarter full rather than three-fourths empty.
Optimism is a sign of stupidity, I've always thought.
Oh, okay, you're going to say that's a wildly thought stance. This is yours.
What?
Did you just forget your take already?
That optimism is a sign of stupidity?
Yeah, yeah.
I've always believed
that. Okay. I thought you were going to say there's like some actual science to back it up.
There probably is.
Maybe. Perhaps. All right, let's go to... You got something else?
I was just going to say, why would anything good ever happen?
Between you talking about jumping off on the concrete side of the bridge and this, I'm starting to get worried about you.
Nah, I'm not jumping off. I'm saying if I was in Ben's situation.
Not now. That I would have. Not now.
What are you doing? You're trying to shuffle again?
Did another shuffle.
You pushed the button like three times.
No, I didn't. I pressed it once.
I heard click, click, click.
You heard me tap the table.
That's not what I heard.
As if the lottery balls were swirling around.
All right, who's number one?
Cleveland, number one.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Number two, the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm.
Number three, the New York Knicks. Number four, the Los Angeles Lakers.
So who do you take at number two?
That would be awkward for the Hawks. That's going to be awkward for a lot of teams here because, I mean, this draft tonight, or the lottery tonight, I guess, is going to determine the stance. And I don't know where these teams are going to lie. Like, I like Ja Morant, what I've seen of him. But the Hawks have a point guard, and I don't think you put Ja Morant and Trae Young in the same backcourt. At that point, I would say, yeah, maybe you should trade, but the Hawks already have the number, the number nine pick in this draft, too, and have a lot of rookies from last year. A lot of teams are going to find themselves in a similar situation of, are we really going to talk ourselves into R.J. Barrett? Is R.J. Barrett still good? I don't know. Like, he was the number one player in the country coming into college, and then Zion passed him. And R.J. Barrett took a little bit of a step back. But he was still pretty good. I just don't know if people are going to find themselves excited about him. I really don't know what this draft looks like outside of the top three, right? I mean, you have Darius Garland Jr., the guy from Vandy. Remember him? Torres Meniscus?
Yes.
He's starting to show up in the top five of everybody's mock drafts, like at number four.
He didn't even play all year.
He played two games, I believe. Maybe you pay like 38 minutes of game or something like that. The drop-off from number one to number two seems rather large. The drop-off from one to five to six, I mean, those seem seismic. I mean, you're talking yourself into 21-year-old DeAndre Hunter at number five, like it's kind of where the Hawks have been projected. I mean, that's good, I guess, but that seems like a pretty big steep drop-off from Zion at number one. I'm expecting madness tonight. I expect something crazy to happen. We'll see. But I expect a team that is not feeling like they're getting number one to get number one. I just think the odds, they made them too small for the teams who have the worst records, which they were trying to stop tanking, and they sort of kind of did. They at least showed, hey, tanking isn't very good for you. It's not going to give you the same amount of success, the same amount of reward as it has in the past.
but it could just leave some teams that are perpetually bad out of, just based on bad luck.
Well, that's fine. Sorry about it. I'm not going to cry for any of these teams at the top. That's the thing, Cody. None of these teams which team am I supposed to feel bad for between New York, who has every advantage you could ever need to be good, right? New York City.
Madison Square Garden.
That's really all you need. That's really all you need. The East. Being in the East is also a big asset. Cleveland. Not going to feel bad for you, Cleveland. Sorry, you had LeBron James. And then you had what? Three? You won the lottery three times after LeBron James left? You took Kyrie. You took big fat-ass Anthony Bennett, who sucked and everyone knew shouldn't have been the number one pick. You took him, and then you took Andrew Wiggins to trade him for Kevin Love. I'm not feeling bad for you, Cleveland. You've had your chances. You don't deserve to win number one. Phoenix hasn't been good in 12 years.
Don't you feel kind of bad for the fans?
I guess a decade. No, I don't feel bad for the fans. I mean, yeah, I feel bad for their fans. Sure, I don't feel bad for the team, though. I don't feel bad for their front office. Like, you got DeAndre Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Or not DeAndre Booker. What's his name? Devin Booker. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Make it happen. Figure it out. If you don't win Zion, I'm not going to cry for you. Phoenix seems like a big city. Is Phoenix not a big city? Like, it seems like somewhere people should want to go play. I don't know. It seems like there's good weather there. We got a whole bunch of professional teams. Not going to feel bad for them. Chicago, don't get me started on Chicago. You got six championships since the 90s. Like, we're not feeling bad for you. Washington, you employed Ernie Grunfeld for how long? Was the owner just a real big fan of the Ernie and Bernie show? Like, he loved the 70s Vols? Like, is that why he kept him around for so long? I'm not feeling bad for Washington. Nope, not happening. Now, do you feel bad for New Orleans? Like, hey, you're losing Anthony Davis? I look at them and say, well, you lost Anthony Davis because you're so stupid. Because you did things like trade for Omer Asik. You're trading picks for, you know, you're trading assets for 1 year of DeMarcus Cousins. I don't feel bad for you. You're poorly ran. Same as Memphis. Feel bad for the Memphis fans.
What about the Hawks?
I skip them. I do feel bad for the Hawks, but I'm trying not to be biased. But, I mean, many people forgot the year that the Hawks won 60 games and have the number one, you know, best record, the number one overall. I don't even know. I think that was it. Did they have a better record than the Warriors? I don't remember. They had the best record in the East. Many people forgot that the crooked NYPD, Cody, broke their best perimeter defender's leg in a bar fight. Many people forget that. Many people forget that. Because it's the Hawks. But I didn't forget, as LeBron James was busting her ass in the conference finals, I was like, it would have been really nice to have Thabo Sefolosha right now. And then we had to fire our GM because the PC police got him because he read someone else's scouting report. Someone else wrte in a scouting report that Luol Deng had, quote, too much African in him. Which, that's not a good phrase to repeat. He's like, yeah, he's got a little bit too many tricks in him. He's a little bit tricky. He's going to sell you something that what he's selling you isn't maybe worth what you're paying for it. He's got a little too much African in him. And they fired Danny Ferry just because he read someone else's scouting report out loud in a meeting. Which, by the way, Danny Ferry, now the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans. He's getting to run them. So we just had to fall on the Donald Sterling is a racist sword. We can't have any racism in the NBA. Whatever. PC police got us. The crooked NYPD broke our best defender's leg. No big deal. I will say, of the teams at the top, I mean, again, not to make this about the Hawks, but New York, they were blatantly awful. The Cavs ended the season on a 10-game losing streak. Phoenix, you know, Phoenix has sucked. Everyone else just blatantly tanked, whereas the Hawks, they tried very hard. They tried very, very hard. They won 29 games. People were excited. They were like 500 over the last 30-something games of the year. They were playing good. They tried. They're trying to do things the right way. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to feel bad for a team not getting a break, maybe feel bad for them. But I'm not going to ask for anyone's sympathy if they don't win. I don't feel bad for any of these teams that are going to be stuck, like you said, in what how'd you phrase it? Petulant mediocrity or something like that. I don't know how you phrased it, but you said something along those lines, right? You've forgotten. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it, but something of the sorts. You just continue to do whatever you're doing over there, because I just wanted to point out, not going to feel bad for Memphis. They had, Chris Wallace forever. Just letting him run them into the ground. They should have broken up Marc Gasol and Mike Conley 3 years ago. Everyone knew it was over 3 years ago. Should have got rid of them then. Should have just let it happen. Should have done what's best for your franchise. Instead, you decided, hey, we're going to give Mike Conley the biggest contract in the NBA at the time, and it's crazy that that hasn't worked out for winning. It's crazy how that's happened. I don't feel bad for them. Dallas. Don't even get me started on Dallas, Cody. Dallas, who Mark Cuban has fostered a community where they are mean to women. They sexually abuse women. He didn't do anything about it. He was actually helping pay the journalist, the guy on his staff, to hopefully get him some help. Keeping him employed, just like, hey, don't do this again. They don't feel bad for them. They blatantly take two. And their best player, Kristaps Porzingis, got his ass beating Latvia. I feel bad for him for that. Minnesota. You can't win with Karl-Anthony Towns. You don't deserve Zion. Lakers. Again, every advantage in the world. Charlotte. I do feel bad for Charlotte just because Charlotte. You're like, hey, Michael Jordan's our owner. Maybe some free agents will want to sign here to play for Michael Jordan. That hasn't happened. No one wants to play for MJ. And he did, for some reason, give Nicholas Batum like $126 million that one offseason when everyone realized Nicholas Batum is not a $126 million player, but they just happened to have a free agent at the wrong time when the salary cap exploded and everyone's like, oh, we got all this money. What are we going to do with it? Let's pay. Let's pay. Let's pay. Let's pay. And then they gave it all to Nicholas Batum for some reason. And that seemed dumb. And Kemba is about to leave, so I'd be okay if Charlotte won Zion. That'd be cool. Like, hey, MJ can tutor Zion. Get him a bad gambling habit. I'm not feeling bad for any of these franchises. Shut up. They all have the opportunity to be good.
Just simulate it again. Got the Lakers at number one.
People are going to be mad if that happens. The rest of the league is going to be mad if that happens, and we're going to hear a lot about corruption.
Oh, there's Dallas at number one.
Oh, God. Okay. Go to break. Turn left. Cam's up next. Back on the program. A lot of trade talk in the NBA, too. You see this behind us, Cody?
What are they talking about?
A lot of suggestions
for LeBron and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, for trading LeBron for Ben Simmons.
I didn't even look, and I knew it.
Yeah. A lot of talk on trading LeBron, getting him out of here.
For Ben Simmons?
I do think a Ben Simmons trade makes sense for the 76ers. They're going to have to pay him coming up soon. And he doesn't fit with Joel Embiid. I think I personally like the idea of trading him to Houston for Chris Paul better, though.
Does LeBron not have a no-trade clause?
No, he doesn't. He messed up. All right, let's get ready for turning left with Cam Black.
Best segment of the week.
Should we go intern Cam for the turn left or Cam Black? I was trying to make it sound a little bit more professional for the segment. He's intern Cam off the mic, but what do you think, Cody?
I've said I don't think he should be intern Cam anymore. I think he should be a permanent,
wow,
permanent fixture, wow, here. Whoa. On the
what
show.
What a compliment.
Yeah.
All right, turn left I've with Cam. It. We'll just say turn left with Cam now. Parentheses intern, parentheses Black. On each side.
Oh, okay.
Parentheses intern, Cam. Parentheses Black. That way you can, if you want to call him intern Cam, you can call him intern Cam. If you want to call him Cam Black, call him Cam Black. I'm just going to call him Cam.
Intern.
Is that okay? We good?
Yeah, that's cool.
Parentheses on both sides?
Works for me.
Like, there's a beginning parentheses, intern, in parentheses.
I think we all understand the concept.
Capital C, Cam, beginning parentheses, black.
Let's just say turning left with Cam.
Turning left with Cam, go!
I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car!
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Hang it on, Eric. Aren't you scared of the competition? I'm just as poor and stupid as you. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to turn to the left again.
Can we just get back to the subject of racing, please?
Hell, bring it on, Danica.
Son of a bitch just slammed into me!
No, he didn't slam into you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Dude, check it out, Kenny! My very own NASCAR! Aw, oh, cool, huh, Kenny? Beep, beep!
There's only one good thing about coming to these races. The vibrations from the car. Oh, I love this car! It's mine!
Oh. Vroom, 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 I love NASCAR.
I think we need to get rid of that woman moaning to vibrations. That one makes me a little uncomfortable.
That's your problem.
Turning left with Cam Black, let's go!
All right, we were in Kansas this weekend, and Kevin Harvick won the pole position for the race.
Okay.
So, strong start. He ended up winning stage one after... through the entire race, he led a race-high 105 laps.
Shout out to Kevin Harvick,
but
winning
stage
one.
Going into stage two, on the final 16 laps, Chase Elliott pulled off the stage two win.
Oof, Jeff Gordon's replacement.
It up. Yep, yep. And so it kept going, and it was just lots of cautions, nothing for, like, big wrecks or anything. It was just, like, little knick-knack
stuff,
so it was kind of lame.
There's nothing worse than knick-knack cautions.
Yeah.
I hate the
debris
knick-knack cautions.
Yeah, like debris. Somebody lost a tire when rolling down the street.
It almost feels like, hey, we need this everyone to get jumbled back up together. That way we can make the race exciting. Let's go with the caution.
But
give everyone a chance to win.
To overtime.
Oh, NASCAR
overtime in NASCAR this weekend, which, you know, I knew with all my vast NASCAR knowledge.
That it was a thing.
Yeah.
You were not Donovan McNabb out there saying, I thought do ties in football, and everyone's like, well, actually, Donovan, you're a dumbass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have ties.
I was aware overtime was, you know, when there's a caution at the end of the race, and I don't want to end on a caution. They gave him two extra laps to get it done. And into that, Brad Keselowski, he only led 12 laps in the entire race, but he ended up pulling it off and got the lead going into overtime, and he ends up winning in the overtime. It was his third win of the season, actually.
Wow.
Big for him. Puts him in the top five in standing so far this season.
How many championships does Keselowski have?
One.
That's the only one won?
Yeah.
Was it like in 2011 or so? 2010, maybe?
I want to say it was a little more recent than that.
Okay.
But I don't know for
sure. Just remember all my friends, or not all my friends. I had a couple friends who always had Brad Keselowski swag. I guess he's a beer guy, right? I mean, he's a beer.
He drives the blue too, the Miller Lite car.
Yeah.
Or he did. I don't know.
He always had Keselowski stuff all around.
He might not even drive that car anymore.
What year he won a championship?
It was 2012.
Okay. I was going to say, it was around similar to that.
Yeah, he's top five right now, sitting in the standings. Alex Bowman was second for the third straight race, so he's probably hurting a little bit from that. That's got to be really annoying. And Kyle Busch, this is his first time outside the top 10. He had a late pit visit off of, not on caution, like a green light pit
made
visit.
A mistake.
And
those green
he
cautions,
had a, he had
those
a
green
bumper
will,
pierced his tire, so he had to pull off. He ended up 30th to ruin his top 10 streak for the season. But now they're headed to Charlotte for the All-Star race this next weekend.
Where did your prediction finish?
I think I said Truex again. He was 19th.
Mm.
Crazy. Top 20, though. I'll take it.
Hey, there you go. He beat half the people.
Headed to Charlotte for the All-Star race.
Yes, sir.
This is kind of the off week in NASCAR. It's like and then they come back for the Coke 600. Or the World 600, whatever they call it now.
I look forward to learning on Thursday on Turning Left what the All-Star race means. What's the winner get?
It's exciting.
What happens? Are they doing any tricks? Like, are they just going to go in reverse? Are they going to turn to the right this time instead of turning to the left sometimes?
We're going
to turn
to the left sometimes. It's all the former champions.
Excuse me. I said Thursday.
What?
I said I look forward to learning about it on Thursday on Cam's Turning Left. Please stop trying to step on his
segment. Very well. I can't wait. I like the enthusiasm, though.
Yeah. We're going to turn to the right this week instead of turning to the left.
They do turn to the right sometimes.
Oh,
can you name the tracks they turn to the right on?
Martin's Glen? Oh, that's a short track, right?
You're combining two tracks.
Yeah, okay.
Martinsville is a short track. Okay, that's the paperclip.
What's the Glen one?
Watkins Glen.
That's the road course, right?
That's one of the road courses.
I love that one on NASCAR 98.
You know what state Watkins Glen is in?
I know Pennsylvania's in Pocono.
Pocono's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
New York.
Watkins I wasn't done Glen. Guessing! I was going to get that!
You were a state away.
I didn't guess Pennsylvania! I was just saying I know where Pocono is, and I was stalling, trying to get time to think about it, and you ruined the game! I was going to get it! And I was going to show that I had NASCAR knowledge! And geography! Why did you do that? Hour two's over! Don't do it again in hour three!